All right, get your Bible, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've struggled really with this message. Because of who we are and what we believe and what we do, a lot of people misunderstand what we believe. And I used to think that Christians were mean and they were judgmental and they were just unhappy people and they wanted misery, love, company, so I thought they wanted me to join them. And the reason is because I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know anything about the gospel. I didn't know gospel means good news. And to be frank with you, nobody ever told me the gospel. And so sometimes I think, well, people come Sunday morning, they don't get to come Sunday night. I have to pack things in here for those of you that only come once a week because you need more than just the gospel. Today I'm going to talk about the gospel, but it's going to be more than just the gospel. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and put your finger there and then turn to 1 John. 1 John, if you will, chapter 1. Now hold on, it ain't going to take that long. It's just because I'm reading two scriptures. All right, 1 John chapter 1. Look at verses 1 through 7. And we'll start with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, we're not attempting to mislead anybody. Manifest means to show forth. We're not hiding anything. We're not trying to deceive people, not craftiness. But then he said in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That means without direction, confused in their direction. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world, you see a small g, that means the devil, the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's the subject, not us. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now that treasure is the gospel, is salvation through Jesus Christ. And we're not the excellent one he is. That's what we preach. That's what we teach. Now turn to 1 John, 1 John chapter 1, look verse 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now this is apostle. He saw him. He touched him. For the life was manifested and we've seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I want you to forget everything, the chicken, the dinner, whatever you're going to do this afternoon. Let's get our mind on the Lord. Get our mind in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Let's lay aside all those weights which easily beset us this morning. And let's get spiritual minded for just a few minutes. You young people can do that too. You know, you can be saved at 8, 9, 10 years old. You don't have to be old and wore out to get saved. Amen? So I want you to get spiritual minded this morning. This is probably one of the most somber messages I've ever preached. I want you to listen, okay? And pay attention. Now, the devil ain't going to like that, but you go ahead and ignore the devil and look to the Lord, okay? I want you to notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, you know, the day we live in, a lot of people just don't see it. They just don't see it. There was a time in my life where I just didn't see it. I didn't understand it. And I didn't understand what the gospel was. And don't turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 basically says, and we came unto you and we preached the gospel, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, by this you're saved. What he did, not what you do. And by putting your faith in his finished work, not yours. Yours will never be good enough. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. Amen? Now, God's seeking us. If you're saved, he sought you. You wasn't looking for him. He interrupted your life. Amen? And now, this morning, if you don't know the Lord or you don't know what that means to be saved, he's looking for you. Now, I'm not trying to get you. He is. And anything that comes out of me and through the Word of God, that's Him. That's not your mama. That's not your daddy. That's not your wife, your husband. That's God speaking to your heart. We can't speak to your heart. We can speak to your mind. And so we'll take the Word of God today, and I want you to see there is a hidden gospel. But it's not hidden to those that believe. It's hidden to those who don't believe. Now, the day that we live in is turbulent times, I guess we would have to say at the least. Half the world wants to be right and half the world wants to be wrong. I read an editorial this morning. This guy, of course, I shouldn't have read it. After I read it, I was so mad. I looked and saw where it came from, New York Times. I said, I just wasted my time. But this man said, the day that we live in, it's not morals that we ought to be looking for, it's meaning. And that sounds pretty pious, doesn't it? But if you read his writing, you'd see, he said, that morals don't satisfy people. Meaning does. So whatever life means to you, go after it. Well, to Bundy, that meant killing women. Amen? To Dahmer, that meant killing people, putting them in the freezer and eating them away a little bit at a time. Whatever gives meaning in your life may not be what God wants. There are some higher morals than we have. And the Bible says a child left unto himself will go wrong every time. It's our job to raise up children in the ways they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. Well, if you don't have morals, how are you going to do that? There's got to be a standard of what's right and what's wrong. Some of you built houses and things. You understand, there's a standard for every board. That board has to be cut exactly every time or you'll end up with a house leaning like this. Some of you probably did that. And it's gotta be done exactly the same way every time because just a little bit getting off of that, the next time we'll add a little bit more to getting off of that. And then pretty soon you got a house that's leaning this way so far you're ashamed of it. And it's the same way in our life. Morals do matter. But the age that we live in, what we preach, and by the way, we're not the first age this has happened. There's been great awakenings in every age of man. You go back to the 1400s, there's a great awakening. You go to the 1700s, there's a great awakening. In the 1800s, there's a great awakening. And I believe in America, the early 1960s and 70s, there was a great awakening. And I think there's needs to be one more. But the gospel is hid. There's three ways, basically, that the gospel will hide from you. Now, it's plain to see. The Bible says Jesus didn't do anything in the dark. That everything he did openly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pull that door shut, Billy. Everything he did openly. And he didn't do it in the dark. He did it in the light.
Amen.
So, if it's hidden, there's some reasons that you don't see it. Now, number one, I think, is this. Look at verse 4 in chapter 4. Look at verse 4. And whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that believe not. Now, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, I don't know everything about you, but I know this. You're just like me and everybody else when it comes to spiritual things. And we have an enemy, and we have somebody that loves us. We have Satan. He's our enemy. He's your enemy. And we have God. He's the lover of our souls. And we've all got that. But be careful what you're listening to. It may be the enemy that sounds a whole lot like somebody that loves you. In verse 12 he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. The Bible calls him the god of this world. You remember he took Jesus up on the mountain. He said, "I'll give you all of that, the whole world, all those kingdoms, if you'll bow down and worship me." He was trying to deceive the Lord himself. Now, don't think that you can't be deceived, because there is a deception that comes straight from Satan himself. You say, "Well, I don't believe in the devil." That doesn't make him any less real because you don't believe in him. That won't make hell any less hot. And that won't make eternity any shorter. Amen? And so, number one, we all can be deceived by Satan, even as believers. There's things that he uses to lead us astray. 2 Timothy 3:4 said they were led astray by pleasures. Pleasures. I think the number one deception in America today, if it feels good, do it. If it don't do it. But you know, it used to be they'd say no pain, no gain. Now they just say no pain. That's why they're still living in your basement. Amen. That's why I still play a video game. But in Matthew 19, there's a story of a young rich man. He comes to Jesus. He said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he was wanting Jesus to say, you know, do 10 Hail Marys, you know, or something like that, you know. But Jesus said, "I tell you what, give up all you have. Go sell all you have and then come and follow me." And the Bible says he went away disappointed. You know why? He had possessions and pride. Did you know a poor man may not have many possessions, but he's usually eat up with pride. And then the more possessions you get, the more prouder you get. Amen. Is that good English? I got teachers in here. Is that good English? More prouder? It is in South Carolina. But amen. But the seemed like, believe it or not, look at America. Now, when I grew up, and I know I'm old as dirt, and so are you, Brother Alton. Don't smile. You're older than I am. And but when I grew up, there was poor people, and there was middle class people, and there was rich people. Not many people was rich, and the middle class was the most, but there was poor people like us, and we grew up poor, and we didn't have a whole lot of stuff. But it seemed like we were a lot more happy than people are today. Somebody said something the other day about their mama's cleaning house. I said, you could literally eat off my mama's floors. There wasn't a speck of dust in her house. She kept that thing so clean, it sparkled. All right, don't get mad at me, ladies. I'm preaching here. She just loved, she didn't have much, but what she had, she took care of. And I think in America today, we can't only find real, I know there's some, but we can't only find real poor people. We didn't have food stamps. Amen. We didn't have government assistance. We didn't have welfare. The only thing welfare did was take your children away from you back then. They didn't give you nothing. And it seems like the world we live in, how many poor people you know don't have a cell phone? And I said, what does he need a cell phone for? This guy came to church one day, waited till church was over, met me on the front porch. And of course, I always told guys like that, I said, you should have been here an hour ago. You'd have got what you needed, not what you're asking for. And when I was shaking people's hands, he was over on that phone whispering. And then finally he put on his poochy lip and he came over there to me and said, Pastor, I need some help. I just ain't got nowhere to stay. I've lost my house, lost my car, lost my family. And he said, hold on. He came back over here. I said, get out of here. You just want me to give you some money so you can go to that guy you're talking to on the telephone, get you another hit. I know what you need. Get out of here. You come back, you come to church, I'll talk to you then. But it's hard to find people that don't have possessions. Poor doesn't make you saved, rich doesn't make you lost, or the other way around. But pleasures and possessions will blind you more than anything on planet Earth. You know, we talk about cults and cult leaders and all this stuff, and that's terrible. It's awful that people get deceived by that stuff. Thank God I didn't. I could have been. Thank God I didn't. God saved me, and I grew up during all those times. But possessions and pleasure will blind you quicker than a cult leader will. You see, you think you're self-sufficient. You don't need God. And then pride steps in. Yep. Come on. Even long, I was lost, going to hell and had nothing, and I'll still eat up with pride. I was going to see she was my girlfriend then, my wife. I lived in Lancaster. I went up through Indian land, come on Dobie's Bridge Road when there was nothing on it but Dobie's Bridge. And I was driving a borrowed car because I had no money. And I had no gas, so I run out of gas about halfway between Indian Land and Fort Mill. My wife lived on the other side of Fort Mill up there near PTL. I walked past many a house I could have stopped and asked to use their phone. I was too proud. Yeah. I hitchhiked, but nobody gave me a ride until I got about 2 miles from her house. And they put me in the back seat, wanted to know if I had any money. They wanted to buy some wine. When I didn't, they dropped me off another half mile from her house. But I was proud. I ain't asked nobody for nothing. Come on, fellas, you know what I'm talking about. An old devil, he'll give you anything. Listen, he'll give you anything to blind you from seeing what's just on the other side of that, which would be the gospel. But see, in order to see the gospel, you have to humble yourself before God. You've got to say, God, I'm nothing, you're everything, and I get whatever I deserve. And I remember probably a year before I got saved, people say, you know, you're going to hell. I say, if anybody's going to hell, I am. I deserve to go to hell. And the problem nowadays, people are so proud, they think they don't deserve to go to hell. They think their children don't deserve to go to hell. They think their grandchildren don't deserve to go to hell. And we're all sinners, and every one of us deserves the devil's hell. I've been saved since 1978. If I got what I deserve since yesterday, I'd go to hell. It only takes one sin to go to hell. And pride will blind you more than anything. Pride has busted up more marriages. destroy more relationships with children and parents. Amen. Got more people out of church and sent more people to hell than all the money in the world. Now, the problem is Satan, the great deceiver. Oh, I'll make it. I'll be all right. You're a fool, and you've been blinded by the devil himself. Number two. The word blinded means made dark, obscured, blurred, tarnished, overshadowed. You know what I saw? Now, I didn't go to church much growing up. When I was real little, Mama took us two or three times, me and my little brother. And you know what I saw at church? Boredom. I was bored out of my skull, man. I was blinded to what was really going on because I was bored, because I thought everything had to be exciting all the time. And then growing up in the 60s and 70s, we were always chasing something exciting. Well, it's over here this week. It's over there next week. It's over there next week. Y'all remember that? Brother Alton was going somewhere different every week because we heard it was exciting. Man, this is going to be cool. This is going to be good. Amen. And boy, were we deceived. We were deceived. And a lot of people go to church and they are deceived by Satan because they're blinded about what's really going on.
Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah.
They think, well, I got religion, I'll be all right. I tithe, I've been baptized, I joined the church, I'm going to be good. No, until you receive Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. You can join every church in town, get baptized till you wrinkle like a prune, and you'll still wake up in hell one day. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, believe on Him. Yeah. Call on Him. Receive Him. It's all about Him. It's not about manifesting religion. It's about manifesting God through the love of God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A lot of people are blinded. They've let things overshadow what's standing between them and eternal life. It might be religion. It might be a lot of things. But then look at 4b, chapter 4, verse 4. Look at the second part of that verse, if you will. He said, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, guess what? They chose to do that. They chose to do that. Many times I'd go to church, many times people would witness to me, and I would choose to refuse that. I was blinded by Satan, the world, the pleasures, the pride, all these things had clouded my judgment, and I could not see how important this really was. So I'd say, well, I'll do that later.
Yeah.
Or I would say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Or preacher, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be better. Because I couldn't see the real story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. All I could see was me and what I wanted. See, that overshadowed the gospel. So over and over and over, y'all listening, young people, I rejected eternal life. I rejected forgiveness. I rejected the love of God in Christ Jesus. I chose to do that. Can anybody else... Did y'all ever do that? Say amen or give me a Methodist nod or something. Amen. We chose to reject the gospel. We chose not to see it. We didn't want to hear it. That would interrupt our pleasure. That would. My pastor, when I first got saved, was witnessing to the best man at my wedding. We went to see him. And he almost got saved. And then when his wife comes on, he said, wouldn't you like for him to get saved? She said, no. If he gets saved, it'll change his life. And if he changes his life, he'll expect me to change mine. And I don't want to. We chose to be blinded. We do that all the time. Sometimes we choose to overlook not only our own sin, but sins of others. We choose to do that because we value their relationship more than we value what's right and what's wrong.
Come on, bro.
I'm going to get a little more personal here. Sometimes we do that with our children. We choose not to see things. A lot of times we'll say, I don't want to know everything my kids do. Now that may sound good because you don't want to upset your little apple cart, but it's your responsibility to know everything your children do. They're not your children anymore. Sometimes we choose to not see what our spouse does. Got quiet on that one, didn't we? That's a choice we make. Somebody's blinded us to the truth because we think, boy, if I see that and I get involved in that or I do anything about that, then that's going to be trouble for me. See, selfish, deception, chosen. I've met people that belong to cults. Mormonism's a cult. Jehovah's Witnesses a cult. A lot of things are cults like that. And I say, how do you stay in that? How do you stay in that? Knowing that I just read you the Bible and what the Bible says is true and they disagree with that. Some people stay in churches like that.
Yes.
And I say, how do you justify not doing what the Bible says and belonging to something like that? They say, well, I just don't want to see it. That's not me, that's them. Well, you chose to deny the truth. He said, if we walk in the light as He's in the light. The light is the Word of God. Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Now, we read that. We feast on that. We eat that. We drink that. We walk in it. That means the way we live is according to the Word of God. And the Word of God exposes these deceptions and we choose to not see it. I don't like confrontation. I hate it. I hate it. Do y'all hate confrontation? I guess I'm a coward. I don't know. I just want everybody to love me. Don't you? Don't you? Nod your head right there. Your wife's sitting in the room. I want everybody to like me. Don't you? But sometimes we deceive ourselves so people will like us. I used to tell that preacher, he'd come to my house, I said, Preacher Fogberry, if I do what you say, I'm going to lose every friend I have. That's what I'd tell him. I said, I'm going to have to quit hanging around with them. He said, no, you won't. They'll quit hanging around with you. And it did. March 5th, 1978, I lost every friend I had but two. One was my wife and the other was my best friend. Amen, amen. But we choose to refuse. Instead, you'll say, well, I'll try religion. You know, them Catholics, they look like they got it, man. They got that guy that wears that gown. He's got that backward collar on. He sounds real good. He sounds real good. Of course, you go to the hospital, he ain't coming. Your marriage get in trouble, he ain't coming. You know, you get sick, he ain't coming, you know. But it looks good. If a religion looks good, Catholicism is it. I mean, you go through the same things every week. Every week you go through the same ceremony. Every week. And boy, if that was it, you got it. And then somebody comes up to you and says, but have you ever been saved? You say, I'm a Catholic. Huh? So what? Last one told me that. I said, well, come on, church. God loves Catholics too. But we choose. We would choose respectability because, you know, being one of those born-again Christian fanatics, people won't respect you anymore. And that may be true. But when I first got saved, I had a surprise. I couldn't figure out how to tell the people I worked with. I worked third shift, and my machine was on the kind of second floor, and half of it was on the bottom floor, and everybody came in the basement, came up steps at my machine, and I stood over there every day for over a week, walking back and forth at 7 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure out how to tell these men that I had sinned with, that I had been born again, I'd gotten saved. And I couldn't figure out how to tell them. I knew no scripture. I wasn't raised in church. All I knew is I was blind. I could see. I was lost. I was found. The burden was gone. The guilt was gone. I was trying to figure out a way to tell them. I couldn't figure out a way. And finally, this one fellow come up. The test of all of them, Dewey, he came up the steps. And he was the one that had the pornography at work. He was the one that told all the dirty jokes. He was the one that everybody gathered around his work bench, you know, his life of the party. And so he came up the steps. And I said, Dewey, I got to say something. I got to tell you something. And I was 20-something years old, and he was 50-something. He said, well, follow me. And by the way, they were pretty proud of having a wicked disciple that they had made. Those old men made a disciple out of me, wicked like they were. And he said, follow me. So I'm following him, and I don't know what to say. And he goes into office. I said, Dewey, I don't know how to say it. You know I've been going to church. He said, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, good, that's good. I said, well, Dewey, it's more than that. I started crying. I said, Dewey, I don't know how to tell you, but all I know is what they say. Dewey, I got saved. Amen. And he got teared up. And he said, Ron, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Ron. I wish I could do that. I said, you can?
Yes.
He said, don't you start preaching to me, boy. He said, you told Steve, that was another old friend, I said, no. He said, well, he's back here at number one. He said, let's go back there. I'll help you tell him. A lost man. The one I was afraid to tell. Because the devil had me fearful.
Yes.
And he walks me back there. And Steve's way over there. He says, Steve, Rod got something he wants to tell you. He said, what's that? I said, I got saved. He said, you got what? I said, I got saved. And I told him how I got saved. And he walked over behind the machine. He said, you sure you went down at Connie's? That was a beer joint down in Chester. And I said, no, you can't get this down at Connie's. He said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't talk to me about that. It may be you just refuse to see it.
Come on, bro.
Very familiar passage of scripture, John chapter 3, and most of you already know the whole chapter, but verse 16 you already know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that's die and go to hell, but have everlasting life, that's go to heaven. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. You know why? The world's already condemned. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he's a bad guy? No, read the rest of it. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It may be you just refuse to see it. You know what? Those of us who are saved are no better than you are if you're not. It's just we've accepted the fact. We've accepted the fact that we've come short the glory of God. We've accepted the fact that it only takes one sin not to go to heaven. No sin can enter into heaven, and we've sinned. We accept the fact we can't help it. We were born that way, sinners. The curse of Adam flows through our veins. You know, I got hepatitis B when I was 18. It flows through my veins. They won't let me give blood. If you got it, it'll probably kill you if you're sick. But you know what? The blood of Jesus washed away my sin. Now my blood ain't no good, but his is the same way it was the day he shed it on the cross. It never loses its power. And it'll wash away all your sins, past, present, and future. But some just refuse to see it. Ephesians 4:18 says this, and I'm about through. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, that's loose living, sexual sins, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You ever look at people and say, how can they go so low? I'll tell you how they got that low. They rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone, God's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone is given an opportunity by God the Father through God the Holy Ghost to receive the payment of their sin by God the Son, Jesus Christ. Everybody, nobody's ever lived that didn't get that opportunity.
Amen.
You say, what about that guy living in a cave over yonder? Somehow, some way, God will convict his heart and his mind that there's a God up in heaven. Hey, you think he doesn't? He walks out every day and sees stars we can't see. They're clouded out by the bright light. And he walks out there and he says, truly, surely there's a God up there that made all this. And when he does that, God, as long as he'll follow what light he has, that's his first light, his creation. God created, and for, Romans 1 said, even creation declares God. And look, you have to lie to yourself not to think that. You say, well, I evolved. Well, your mom might have been a monkey, mine wasn't. You say, well, we came from an amoeba. That takes more faith than I have. Well, it all came out of the Big Bang. Well, where'd the bang come from? Well, two things ran together in space. Where'd that come from? In the beginning, God created. Now, that's our first revelation. And then if you'll follow that, God will give you another. And by the way, he won't let you die until you either reject or receive the revelation that he gives you. And everybody on planet, are y'all listening, young ladies? Look up here. I ain't said pray. Listen. Everybody gets the opportunity to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what you have to do? This is real hard. I want y'all to listen real close. Some of you were raised to do all kind of stuff, penance and great works and receiving religious ceremonies and all this. Here's all you got to do. But as many as received him. Who? Jesus Christ. To them. Who? The ones that received it. Gave he the power. That word power means the right. To become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. It didn't say even to them that joined the church or got baptized or did great works or quit everything all at one time. Some things happen real quick and some things don't happen so quick. And you'll always struggle with something as long as you're in that flesh. But see, that's not what saves you, young lady. What saved you was the grace of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His finished work. I put it all on him. And I said that day, if I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else. If I do that, they'll have to air condition hell. Because Titus 1:2 says to God that can't lie. And if he said I'd call, he'd answer. And he said if I'd receive, he'd give it. And look, he gave me the faith. I didn't have any. That's a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now by the faith, hope, and love, these three, those are all gifts of God. You had no faith, you had no hope, and you didn't even know what love was till you come to know God who is love. He gave you every one of those. Now, if you're searching for those things anywhere else, you're going to be sadly disappointed. And you're going to have to, on purpose, reject the gospel and hide your eyes. All you got to do is want it. All you got to do is want it. I wanted to know the truth, don't you? I wanted to know about eternal things, don't you? I wanted to know about heaven and hell. I wanted to know about eternity, don't you? That's all. That's your first step, is you desire it, and then that'll make you seek God. And when you turn to him, he'll turn the light on. I walked in that day, that church. I was blind spiritually, and I walked out. I could see it all. You get a new mind, new heart, and new spirit. Now I want you to look at verse 5 and I'll quit. I know it's late and some of you are thinking more about chicken. For we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now Paul said, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about Jesus. And look, I'm not telling you to serve me. I'm serving you so you'll come to Him. So let me ask you, Christian, some of y'all have been sitting here thinking, well, I've done all that, preacher. I know all this. Well, let me ask you something. What are you preaching?
Come on, bro.
What kind of light are you shining? Or are you obstructing the light? You know, a lot of Christians get between Jesus and lost people.
Right. Come on, bro.
You better quit. Yeah. They're going to die and go to hell, and you're going to stand before God for it, and then one day they'll stand before God, and you'll be standing there and give account to them. You say, what do you mean obstructing the light? My daughter put on Facebook this past week, I think it was, she said her son Rhett has now started telling everybody that stands between him and the TV, get out of the way, I can't see through muddy water. And then she put a little note, thanks Ron Roddy for teaching him that. That's what my mom used to tell me, get out in front of television, boy, I can't see through muddy water. And now Rhett's saying that. And I thought about that. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are standing between God and the lost people. And your testimony's terrible. And your life's terrible. And your mouth's terrible. And the way you live is terrible. And you're muddy water, and they can't see the light because, see, they're looking to you for the light. You know what you need to do? Get out of the way. We all fail sometimes. Get out of the way. What you need to do is point to Jesus. Every once in a while, and I know if you've been saved long, they've told you, you're a pretty sorry example of a Christian. I say, yes, I am. Pray for me. I'd like to be a better Christian. I'd like to be a better preacher. I'd like to be a better witness. Pray for me. I've failed many times. Help me. Pray for me. And when you talk to lost people like that, do you know what they think? Well, I never expected that. But what you're doing, you're getting out of the way so they'll look to Jesus, not you.
Amen.
Mama, you can't save them. Daddy, you can't save them. What you need to do is get out of the way.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Get out of the way, Christian. There have been times in my life where I've just had to get out of the way.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I can't do anything. I'm not that great myself. Especially with your children. And your wife, your husband, they know all about you. Come on, say amen right there.
Amen.
You need to point them to Jesus.
Right.
You know what this church ought to do? We ain't going to have softball team. We don't need to be pointing people to sports. We need to point them to Jesus.
Amen.
We don't need a bowling league. We need a prayer league.
Yes.
Get out of the way. Point them to Jesus. Amen. Now today I want to ask you, have you been blinded? There's the end coming. Are you ready? It's appointed unto man once die, after this the judgment. Are you ready for the judgment? Have you received Jesus Christ's finished work on that cross? He died in your place, a sinless, and he rose from the grave the third day to prove that God accepted the sacrifice for you in your place. Have you asked him to save you? If you haven't, today would be a good day. Christian, are you blocking the light? Are you shining the light? Are you pointing to him? Are you pointing to you? Let's stand. Father,